Tonight, we're going to work our way down through verses 1 through 8. Let's begin in verse number 1 tonight. The Bible says, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding. All of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. And we could all say amen to that tonight, couldn't we? There is no Savior beside him, is there? There is none. I did know thee in the wilderness, in the land of great drought. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. And I want you to look again at verse number 1 tonight. I want to bring you a message entitled, Never Lose Your Tremble. And look what the Bible says in verse number 1 again. When Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. But when he offended in Baal, he died. Never lose your tremble. Father, I ask that you would help us. Lord, I pray that you would calm our hearts. Father, I know we've all already had many activities over the past 3 days since we last met on Sunday. And Father, probably all of us have things on our mind, things we need to get done tomorrow and Friday and before the weekends on Saturday. But Father, for these next few moments, I pray that every single one of us would just calm our hearts and clear our minds and be ready to receive what you have for us from your word tonight. And Father, I do pray that you would challenge our hearts about this matter of humility, about this matter of the fear of the Lord, about our reverence and respect for you. And Father, I pray that you would indeed tonight just remind us, and I pray that you would help us to never lose our tremble, that we would never lose our fear and respect and our trust for you, that we would never be so exalted in ourselves and so proud in ourself, Father, that we would forget you. And so, Lord, teach us tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd be with the young people tonight, and I pray that you'd help Miss Beverly, and, Lord, especially with some new kids tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd give her grace. Father, I pray that you would help her to teach these children, these young people, the Word of God tonight. And Father, I pray that there might even be a young person that would be saved tonight. Father, I pray that your Word would break through all of the distractions that so many of our children have today because they have so many things thrown at them in a day's time. Father, I pray that your Word would just pierce through all of that and help these children to see their need for Jesus Christ. I pray for that in here tonight, if there would be someone who needs to be saved tonight, that your Word would break through all of the distractions and all the hindrances and help someone to see their need for Christ. Father, we love you tonight. We ask that you'd teach us, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. When we speak of the word tremble tonight, and as we see in verse number 1, we are simply speaking, as we've already mentioned, we're speaking of the subject matter of fear and respect and humility toward God. And that's what's being spoken of in verse number 1. And the Bible says when Ephraim, and again, Ephraim is, now I do believe it's speaking specifically of that tribe in verse 1, but as a whole, as we have seen in the book of Hosea, Ephraim is just another term for the northern kingdom, for the 10 tribes of the north of Israel. And he says, when Ephraim spake trembling, he exalted himself in Israel. By the way, the New Testament tells us, and the entirety of the Bible tells us, that when we humble ourselves, what does God do? God exalts us. When we will humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says in due time, in 1 Peter, I believe it's chapter number 5, he says in due time he will exalt us. Well, that's what he's speaking of here in verse number 1. And it also carries the idea that because of how God had exalted them, when they spoke, other people trembled. And God had exalted them because of their humility, because of their reverence for Him, because of their fear for Him. But the Bible says, but when He offended in Baal, in His pride, when Israel pushed God away, pushed Jehovah away, and began to serve Baal, and began to serve other gods, the Bible says, He died. And in God's eye and in God's mind, spiritually speaking, Israel died. Now we know God's not finished with them. We know they're not done. We know that tonight. Matter of fact, would you do this? And we're going to look at this much more, but I've been so intrigued by this verse. Would you take your Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah with me? Isaiah chapter 54. I was reading about 2 weeks ago in the book of Isaiah, and this verse just went to the core of my heart because it's exactly what we're studying in the book of Hosea. And by the way, it's exactly what we're going to see next week. Look, tonight's message in Hosea 13 verses 1 through 8, tonight's message is the bad part. It's the chastening part for the nation of Israel. And by the way, we've seen that all throughout, really from chapter 4 all the way up to chapter 13. But next week, we're going to finish the book. Well, not next week, two Wednesdays. We're going to finish the book of Hosea. And chapter number 14 is the good part. By the way, it's all the good part because it all works together. But chapter number 14, as evil and sinful as Israel had been, God was still merciful. And God is still going to restore Israel. He's going to restore a remnant of His people in the latter time, at the end of the tribulation, as we've said many, many times, He's going to restore. But look here in Isaiah chapter number 54 and notice verse number 7. Would you notice verse number 7? And by the way, Isaiah chapter 54 is speaking of a restored Israel. And in verse number 7, he says, "For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee." Dear friend, isn't that good? For a small moment I had to chasten you. By the way, remember we saw the anguish of his heart? He said, look, how can I let this happen to you, Israel? You're the apple of my eye. Why did you get to this point? But he said, look, for a small moment I have forsaken thee. I've had to set you aside for a while. But with great mercies, because here's the truth, Israel, you don't deserve it. But because of my covenant, because of my promise, and because of my mercy, with great mercies will I gather thee. That's our God. Does He have to chasten? Absolutely. Will He chasten? Absolutely. And that's our message tonight. That's why it is incumbent, it is imperative for us never to lose our tremble. Never to lose our fear and humility and respect toward Almighty God. I want us to consider, just by way of introduction tonight, I want us to consider just three men who lost their tremble. I want you to take your Bibles and go back further in the Old Testament with me. Let's start in 1 Samuel if we could. 1 Samuel chapter number 17, or excuse me, 15, verse number 17. 1 Samuel chapter 15, the first man we'll see is the man Saul. Notice what the Bible says about Saul in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse number 17. We know the context. God had told Saul to utterly destroy and defeat the Amalekites. We know they didn't. We know that they kept the king alive. We know that they kept certainly the animals alive. And in verse number 17, Samuel said, when thou wast, what's the word there? Little. You know what that is? That's trembling. That's fear and respect and humility toward God Almighty. He said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? He said, Saul, he said, it's when you were small in your eyes, when you were humble, when you trusted God, when you obeyed God, when you were little in His eyes or in your eyes, He exalted you. And now, Saul, look what you've done. Now, Saul, you've been disobedient. You even back in chapter number 13, in chapter number 13, he had intruded into the priest's office, something he never should have done. And he said, Saul, if you read the rest of the chapter, that's where Samuel tells Saul that the kingdom's going to be rent from him. It's going to be given to someone who has a heart after God, someone who God has chosen. Go a little bit further, if you would. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. We have the example here. We have one of the kings of Judah. By the way, one of the good kings. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. We'll begin in verse number 4. We're talking about the king named Uzziah. And in verse number 4, the Bible says, and he did that which was, what's the word? Right. In the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Verse number 7, the Bible says, and God helped him against the Philistines. In verse 9, the Bible says, moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall and fortified them. Verse 10, also he built towers in the desert and digged many wells, for he had much cattle both in the low country and in the plains, husbandmen also, and vine dressers in the mountains and in Carmel, for he loved husbandry. Moreover, Uzziah had an host of fighting men that went out to war by bands. Verse 14, and Uzziah prepared for them throughout all the host shields and spears and helmets. Verse 15, and he made in Jerusalem engines invented by cunning men. And his name, the last part of verse 15 says, spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped. Notice this, till. You see that there? He was marvelously helped. By who? By God. He was marvelously blessed. By who? By God. Till, the Bible says, he was strong. Notice verse 16. But when he was strong, his heart was lifted up. This was a good king. This was a man who started very well. Some would say, well, he only did that because Zechariah was there and Zechariah kept him on the straight and narrow. That may have been right, but that was okay. He still was on the straight and narrow until Zechariah passed away. And then the Bible says his heart was lifted up. And when his heart was lifted up, what happened? His heart was lifted up to what? What does the Bible say there? Destruction. Never lose your tremble. Never lose your fear, your humility, your respect toward God. One more. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Isaiah. You were just there. Isaiah chapter number 14. Anybody know who we find in Isaiah 14? Old Lucifer. Verse number 12 of Isaiah 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Never lose your tremble. By the way, tonight we are all susceptible to pride. And that is why we must be on constant guard against it. What we find in Hosea chapter 13 verses 1 through 8 is an awful description of a nation who has fallen. An awful description of a nation who has fallen very simply because of sin, and more specifically because of the sin of pride. And that pride led to idolatry, and that idolatry led to immorality. We've said it numerous times in our study of Hosea. Immorality happens because of idolatry. We are immoral because we are idolatrous. It always starts with idolatry. It always starts when we go away from God to other things. And so I want to give you three reasons tonight, if I could, and I'd like to submit three reasons tonight why it is absolutely imperative that we do not lose our tremble. Why is that important tonight? Why is our humility and respect and fear toward our God, why is it important tonight? Well, first of all, because when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Our trust is transferred from God to another God, little g. From capital G God to little g God. Why is it imperative that we not lose our tremble, that we not lose our fear and our respect and our humility toward God? It's imperative because when we lose our tremble, when we lose our fear for God, our trust is transferred. It's transferred from God. By the way, it's transferred from the Creator to the created. Would you see that with me tonight? Notice verse 2. And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver, and idols according to their own understanding, all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say of them, let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. In verse number 2, what has happened in the nation of Israel, what has happened in Ephraim, is that the craftsmen are making what we would call a killing off of making these idols. Probably not the big idols that we think of. Probably not the big calves that they put in Dan and Bethel. Not those, but they're probably making these little miniature replications of the big calves that are worshipped in Israel. And the craftsmen, the silversmiths, are making a killing off of these little idols. And they're making these, and the people are worshiping and worshiping and worshiping. In the last part of verse number 2, the Bible speaks of them kissing the calves. And the idea there is when they go to worship, and maybe possibly they're speaking of the priest here, the common folks that can't necessarily get an image, can't necessarily get one of these calves, when the priest goes to sacrifice to this calf, for their sake, since they're not able to get one themselves, they ask the priest to kiss the calf for them. What a picture. What a picture of the priest of Israel. By the way, we know the Bible says that Jeroboam made the lowest class of people to be priest. What a shame these priests are taking these idols and they're sacrificing to them and they're kissing them with such great respect. By the way, who does the Bible say we're supposed to kiss? The Son. Would you hold your place there and go to the book of Psalms with me? Psalm chapter number 2. Book of Psalms, Psalm 2. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Their trust in Jehovah God had been transferred to the trust in Baal in verse number 1, to the trust in these silver idols, in these calves, if you will, in verse number 2. And we've seen this many times already. We saw it in Deuteronomy 4, even Sunday. And we've seen it in Deuteronomy 32. We've seen it over and over. We've seen it in the book of Hosea over and over and over again. They had transferred their trust from an almighty God who had given them everything and blessed them with everything to something created by their own hands. Their trust was transferred from the Creator to the created. And can I submit to us tonight, dear friend, we all have to be careful of that. That we don't transfer our trust from the Creator to that which has been created. Whatever it may be, whether it be another individual, whether it be silver, whether it be money, whether it be finances, whether it be an activity, whatever it may be tonight, we have to be careful not to transfer our trust from an almighty God, from the Savior, verse 4 says in Hosea 13, for there is no Savior beside me. And we transfer it to a bank account. We transfer it to a person. Look what the Bible says in Psalm 2, verse 11. Serve the Lord with, what's the word there? Fear. And rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. S-O-N, not S-U-N. The Lord Jesus Christ. Kiss the Son, lest He be angry and ye perish from the way when His wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. You see, we need to be careful that we never lose our tremble, because when we do, our trust is transferred. It's transferred from the God of heaven to some little g god that we've made, whether we've made it with our own hands or made it a god in our minds. We transfer that trust. Look, God can be trusted no matter what the circumstance. Someone this week, actually it's been in the past couple weeks, I heard someone make the statement. They said, you know, this is one of those situations when you ask why. And I thought to myself, I understood what they were saying. I absolutely understood it, because the circumstance is bad. I get it. But they said, this is one of those circumstances when you ask why. I get what they were saying, but listen, there's never a circumstance when we can't trust God. Doesn't matter what's going on. Doesn't matter what's happening. Doesn't matter if everything around us feels like it's falling apart. We can still trust God. By the way, it doesn't matter if everyone around us who's doing something different than we're doing, if it looks like they're prospering and we're not, we can still trust God. Man, look what they're doing. They never give to church. They never go to church. They never do right. And man, look at everything they have. And that's all they'll ever have. That's all they'll ever have. My poorest day on this earth is the poorest day I'll ever have. Your poorest day on this earth, if you know Christ, is the poorest day you'll ever have. A person without Christ, their richest day on earth is the richest day they'll ever have. And that's sad, because they'll miss out on the riches of glory. They'll miss out on the riches of heaven. And so when we start, and I'm preaching to myself tonight. When we start getting our eyes off of that which is most powerful, and we start putting our eyes on that which has been created by the Creator, we better be careful. We cannot afford to lose our trembles. First of all, why? Because our trust will be transferred. Secondly, when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Secondly, tonight, when we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. Number one tonight, when we lose our tremble, when we lose our fear and respect and humility toward our God, our trust is transferred. By the way, transferred to something that cannot help us. The Bible over and over again in the Old Testament talks about the idols that they worshipped, and it talks about the stocks, and it talks about the post, and it talks about the wood and the stone that they used to create all of these different idols. And it says, look, they can't hear, they can't smell, they can't taste, they can't walk, they can't touch, they can't do any of that. So how are they going to help us? They can't. And when we lose our tremble, like Ephraim did in verse 1, our trust starts to be transferred from the God who can and will help and give. What did the Bible say about Uzziah? That he was helped. God helped him until he became strong in his own heart. And his heart was lifted up. And his heart was lifted up to destruction. I'm not going to beat this horse tonight, but that's where our nation's at tonight. Her heart, our hearts as a nation, has been lifted up. And we think we're great because of us, and we have forgotten. I'm not talking about us. I'm just talking about our nation tonight. Look, I know y'all haven't forgotten. But as a nation, we have forgotten who has given us all this. By the way, that's what God says about Israel right here in this chapter. We'll read it again in just a moment. They had forgotten from whence their blessings had come. That's why we can never lose our tremble, because when we do, our trust is transferred. But secondly, our hearts are hardened. Notice verse number 8 with me tonight. We'll look at verses 2 and 6 once again. But notice verse number 8. There's a most really fantastic illustration that we find in verse number 8. It speaks about the call, C-A-U-L, the call of the heart. The call of the heart, it's the same thing. We would use the term pericardium. It's the pericardium around the heart. It's really a membrane around the heart. And here's the fascinating thing. In our human bodies, maybe Adam can correct me. I hope I studied this enough and researched it enough. But when that gets fatty, it hardens. Am I correct or no? Sure, I'll tell you differently later. I don't want to mess your message up, but I'll tell you differently later. When it gets fatty around the heart, it hardens physically. Look at verse number 6 again with me. According to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted, therefore have they forgotten me. Would you take your Bibles and go back to Deuteronomy 32? We just saw this recently just a couple of weeks ago. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. In Hosea 13:6, it speaks just briefly, just one verse. Really verses 4 and 5 speak to it also. But in verse 6, he speaks about them being filled, having everything that they needed. And it says, when they were filled, when they were fat, therefore have they forgotten me. When they became spiritually fat, their heart was hardened. No different than us physically. When that pericardium around our heart gets fatty, it hardens. Spiritually speaking, when we get full and we forget to remember where that fullness came from, our spiritual hearts get hardened. That's what happened to the nation of Israel. Deuteronomy 32, verse 15. But Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. And then what happened? Then he forsook God, which made him and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Notice verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Dear friend, tonight, I could go around tonight and every single one of us, and you may say, well, I don't have as much as this other person in church. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But I could go around every one of us tonight, and speaking of blessings, we are fat. We are, every single one of us tonight. We are fat. By the way, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. God wanted to bless Israel. His desire was to bless Israel, but His desire also was for them to remember Him. In the midst of the blessings, hey, remember where your blessings came from. And by the way, I'm not just talking about a mental remembrance. Okay, God, thank you for this house. I know where it came from. God, I know you gave me the ability to go get a job and get this house. Thank you for that. No. That's not just what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about on Sundays, as we talked about Sunday night, when God spoke about the Sabbath and how important it was. I'm talking about on Sunday when I have the opportunity to show whether I remember Him or not. See, every single one of us tonight have a head knowledge about what God has done for us, right? You know that that car sitting in your garage, you know that that garage and that house attached to your garage, you know every single bit of that came from God. Right? Well, there's no question about that. The land that you have, the farm that you may have tonight, whatever you may have tonight, possessions you have, all of that came from God. Okay, we have a mental knowledge of that. But that's not exactly what God is talking about when He says they forgot Him. Because they still knew who God was. By the way, in the book of Jeremiah, they're still going to the temple. They're still going to church. But they had forgotten Him in how they lived their lives. They had forgotten Him in their respect and their humility and their fear for Almighty God. When it came to worshiping one of these little silver calves or putting it aside and saying, you know what, God said that I'm not to have any other God before me. I'm not to make any images. Remember we saw Sunday? That God said, I didn't even let you see a similitude of me so that you wouldn't make any images. Because if you had even seen a silhouette of me, you would have started trying to make images of what you thought I looked like. And you see, you're not supposed to make any images to me whatsoever. And they still did it. You see, we have a head knowledge of remembrance, but remembrance comes when we obey. My remembrance is proven when I obey. Remember last Wednesday night? We said that we are prompted to remember, and then when we remember, we are provoked to respond. We are prompted to remember who He is, what He does, and where He dwells. And when we do that, it ought to provoke us to respond. Well, that's what we're talking about right here. When we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. What happens when our hearts are hardened? First of all, a hard heart causes iniquity to increase. Verse number 2, what does he say? Let me get back to Hosea 13, verse 2. He says, and now they sin what? More and more. A hard heart, first of all, causes iniquity to increase. Number 2, secondly, we're talking about hearts that are hardened. A hard heart causes wisdom to wane. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And listen, when you stop fearing the Lord, your wisdom, look what it says in verse 2. It says, they made idols according to their own what? Understanding. You ever wonder how a Christian gets involved in things and you look and say, oh my, how? You ever wonder that? Nod your head if you do. I do. How in the world? You ever wonder when you hear about preachers sometimes and some of the things they get involved in and you say, how in the world did that happen? You know how that happened? They allowed their hearts to get hardened. And when that happens, their wisdom begins to wane Because the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And when I get puffed up in my heart, you know what one of the first things is going to be that goes? It's going to be wisdom. It's going to be discernment. How in the world did he get involved in that? He lost his discernment. Why? Because he lost his tremble. Because he allowed his heart to get lifted up inside. Because he, here's the word, pride. Pride. Narcissism. I'm the pastor. I've been the pastor for 30 years. Nothing will ever happen to me. There's still a God in heaven. The people here may not do anything to you, but there's a God in heaven. Our hearts get lifted up. It's called pride. That's why it's incumbent upon us not to lose our tremble, because when we do, our trust is transferred, and then our hearts are hardened, and a hard heart causes iniquity to increase. A hard heart causes wisdom to wane. Again, if you ever see someone who maybe lived for the Lord for a long time and now they're making really bad decisions, and boy, it just blows your mind, here's the answer. They've lost their discernment. Because they don't fear God the way they used to. And when you don't fear God, you're not going to have the wisdom that you need. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise what? Instruction. But fools despise it. There's your answer. How in the world could they do that? No discernment. They've lost their wisdom. It causes iniquity to increase. It causes wisdom to wane. And then it causes the filled to forget. F-I-L-L-E-D, not F-I-E-L-D. I have a hard time saying that word, so it's probably not phonetically correct. Filled. Is that right? Heal. Dr. Beal. Those are hard for me to say. It's just, it's my tongue. F-I-L-L-E-D. The filled, what do? They forget. Because a hard heart causes... Now, here's the truth. You can be filled and not forget. Right? You can be filled with God's blessings and not forget where they came from. Are you with me? By the way, I'm looking at a group of people tonight that you are filled, but you haven't forgot where that came from. You see, when I eat a meal and after I'm finished, I'm full, but I don't forget where that came from. See what I'm saying tonight? Just because God blesses, that's not a bad thing. It's whether we remember who gave us those blessings. It's whether we love the blessing more than the blesser. That's a bad thing. A lot of people allow the blessings to become more important than the blesser. You with me? Number one, when we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred. Second, when we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. Then thirdly, when we lose our tremble, His children are chastened. When we lose our tremble, our trust is transferred to that which cannot help us. When we lose our tremble, our hearts are hardened. It causes iniquity to increase. It causes wisdom to wane. But thirdly, when we lose our tremble, His children are chastened. Now I want you to get in your mind's eye what's going on here tonight. Verse number one, the Bible says, when he offended in Baal, he died. Notice verse three again, real quickly, we'll be done. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with a whirlwind out of the floor, and as the smoke out of the chimney. Verses 7 and 8. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the caul of their heart. You know what he's going to do to that hard heart? He's going to rend it. He said, I will rend the caul of their heart, and there will I devour them like a lion, the wild beast shall tear them. Do we see? Do we understand? Do we get it in our mind's eye what we're seeing right here? We're seeing a nation, a people being destroyed. We're seeing God taking His hand of protection off of them And eventually Assyria is going to come in and absolutely destroy them and ransack them and take them captive. Assyria is going to kill their children. The little ones that they love so much. And is going to ransack their nation. It's a terrible scene. Any of y'all see this week on the news about the accident in Alabama during the rain? I think the accident happened last Saturday or Sunday. And there was like a girls' ranch and 9 other girls got killed in an accident on a van because of that tropical storm and all the rain, the hydroplane. It's like a 15-car pileup. Maybe Adam knows. I've never been on a scene like that, and I don't never want to be. I never want to be. But can you imagine being on a scene like that and just being horrified and saddened to your core? Okay, a million times over is what's getting ready to happen to the nation of Israel. God chastens. He chastens always with an eye toward mercy. I understand that tonight, but He still chastens. When our trust is transferred, when we start worshiping other things, when our hearts are hardened, then the children have to be chastened. And notice what verse number 9, four things here. He says Ephraim died, Ephraim disappeared, verse number 3. He says it's going to be like the smoke and like the dew. They're here. Hey, they're here for just a moment and then they're gone. Ephraim, disappeared. Ephraim died in verse 1. Ephraim disappeared. Ephraim is devoured in verse number 8. And Ephraim is destroyed in verse number 9. But what does verse 9 say? Who destroyed Ephraim? Who destroyed Ephraim? They destroyed themselves. Spiritual suicide. That's what we have. Spiritual suicide. The Bible says, Ephraim, you have destroyed yourself. God says, I've given you opportunity after opportunity to come back. Ephraim, you have destroyed yourself. Hey, if America one day goes that way, if it ends up in destruction, all we have to say is, America, you destroyed yourself. Am I the only one? That's true. America will have no one to blame but ourselves because of the fact that we've gone away from the truths of God's Word. Our world today, and I'm done, it's almost 8 o'clock. But our world packages sin and makes it look so beautiful today. Have you noticed that? I've noticed that even this week. The world packages sin so beautifully and tells us we better accept it or else. That we need to be tolerant of it or else. And so we just better be ready for the or else. Because we better not tolerate it. I don't care how beautiful it's packaged. I don't care what spokesperson or spokeslady or spokesman they put up to talk about it. If it's against God's Word, we shouldn't tolerate it because it'll make us lose our tremble. It'll make us lose our fear of God. Any of you see this week? And I said I was done, didn't I? Sorry. Would you look at verse 9 of chapter 13? He says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine what? Help. Would you look at chapter 14, verse 1? O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. You see what God is doing? Look at verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them, what? Freely. That's the message next week. God is so merciful. He has to chasten, yes, but He's so merciful. Hey, dear friend, I'm seeing it. You're seeing it just like I am. I'm not the only one. Our world is trying to make us accept sin. They're trying to make it look good. And by the way, they make it look good. They make it look beautiful. Do you see the young man that came out this week in the NFL that was gay? Handsome young man. That's perverted. Handsome young man, strong young man, physically. But something is perverted in his character. Don't ever forget that. That is sin before a holy God. And I have heard not a single individual on any of the sportscasts in the NFL say anything negative about it. And they can't and they won't, because if they do, they lose their job. But where's the individual that'll be bold and say, hey, that's wrong? That's an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God. Because that's what it is. Never lose your tremble. When Ephraim had it, God exalted them. When they lost it, or when they left it, that's the better word, they died. Father, help us tonight. Help us, Lord. Help us as a people. Father, I thank You for the individuals in this room tonight. Because, Father, here's a group of individuals who are striving the best they can to live according to Your Word. They are trying to keep and hold on to that tremble. They fear You. They respect You. They have reverence toward You. They have humility toward You. And, Father, help us tonight to never lose that, never leave it. But Father, I pray tonight for our nation who has in many ways left their tremble. They don't fear God. We don't fear God the way we used to. You have people who stand up to do what's right and they're made fun of for being followers of Jesus. Father, that's where our nation is. And Father, You know that better than we do. Father, we need revival. But Father, we know that starts with us. And Father, we need to pray. We need to live the way You've asked us to live. Father, we need, in the midst of our blessings and being filled to the full, we need to remember where all of that came from. Father, help us never to forget You. Father, help us never to forget who You are, what You've done, where You dwell, how You intercede on our behalf. Father, help us to remember. Father, we love You tonight. Father, we're thankful that even though there's chastening, Father, that You love us freely. Father, even though there's chastening, You tell us, hey, come back. I'm Your help. I'm where You're going to find help because I love You freely. Father, I pray even tonight, there might be one in here tonight who maybe needs to get something right with You. I don't know. But Father, if we do, I pray that we do that tonight. I pray for the people around us, Father, that we have influence on. May we help. May we show them the truth of Your Word. Father, dismiss us with Your love. Father, help us as we bend the knee tonight and bend our hearts to lift our voices in prayer to You tonight. I pray that You would incline Your ear toward us. Hear us and help us tonight, Lord. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. You are dismissed, but I do want to encourage you to stay. And let's spend some time in prayer tonight.